Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is our paranormal afterlife, and I'm your host, Simon Baum. And if you want to hear the extended version of this episode, please join the Patreon campaign. This week, I'm talking to Teresa Stepanov about her book, Autobiography of a Medium, A Journey Beyond Death and the Unseen. Teresa is an acupuncture physician, doctor of religious science, Reiki master instructor, herbalist certified in Eastern and Western herbs, certified hypnotherapist, Qigong instructor, and empathic healer. She has had 3 near-death experiences and had many spiritual experiences since the age of 8. Hi, Teresa. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome.
So we're going to talk about your book. It's called Autobiography of a Medium, A Journey Beyond Death and the Unseen. And you've been having these kinds of experiences since you were very young.
Right.
Like when you were a child, I think there was a point where you went into a room and saw a woman with a spinning wheel.
Right. That was my first sighting of like an interdimensional being or... I was in school and I decided to go up the stairs all the way up to the top. And I saw this, I just thought it was off. Sometimes I see them now, like I'm looking at people, regular people. So I actually get confused and I don't even know if they're a real person or not until they disappear or walk into a wall or something. Then that's a clue. Oh, okay, that wasn't a real person. But it was, you know, she had like garments that were out of place. They looked like they were out of time. Something that you would see like a grandmother, like Whistler's mom or something like that. That kind of outfit was old. And there was a spinning wheel there, which was also out of place because it's a public school in New York. Where do you get that from? And she was just spinning. She didn't say anything. She didn't even look at me. She was just doing her thing. So that was, and then I just backed off, you know, because that was when I started to see things. My first occurrence was feeling. Then I started hearing things, and then I started seeing things. So it just started, my intuition just started opening up and expanding. But that was one of the first, my first, that's why it was memorable to me. And that's why I put it in the book, because it was like the first sighting.
Did you feel that it wasn't so much that she was self-aware, but she could have been some kind of recording?
It felt like it was an echo, you know, like it's just something that she did, whatever, you know, 100 years ago. And she was just stuck there doing the same thing, this with the same motions.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like to me. It wasn't kind of like a recording, I guess. But in life, you know, like, I don't know, I was able to see it in my life, but I'm seeing her in the past, I guess, if you want to call it like that.
Because I hear there's ghost sightings where it seems the ghost is self-aware and aware of you. And then there are other ghost sightings where they seem like they're, like you say, like an echo.
Yeah. No, I've had both where they've, you know, smiled at me or even talked to me. I've even told them to shut up because they woke me up. but yeah, it's all different types.
Do any of them ever react like, hang on a second, you can see me?
I believe that they know that I can see them. And I can feel them and hear them. And I also, in my experiences with all different types of ghosts, I guess, or spirits or whatever you want to call them, they communicate in their own way. So if the person was a visual person, then they would either show me images or I would see them. If the person was in life, an auditory person, then they'll say things to me. So it all depends. Nowadays, mostly I've set up my boundaries. So I don't allow them to come and talk to me because I know they can see, they know me, they know that I can see them and I could feel them and hear me and hear them. So so I had to set boundaries. If not, they would be all over me. And that's what used to happen when I was a child in the beginning, because I didn't know how to set the boundaries. I didn't know how to protect myself. So it was like an attack, you know, like I would get them all the time and I would get them doing things to me. And it was not, it wasn't comfortable, to say the least. And it was frightening. In the very beginning, it was frightening. But I learned to control it through connecting with Source and, you know, protecting myself with, you know, divine light and also amplifying my energy. And that's what helped me put the boundaries up and control the situation. So now if I tell them to leave, I'll give you an example. I was with a friend and we went into the room and this woman, you know, spirit, she came in with us. I guess she was curious just to, you know, because he was also a medium, very intuitive. So she came into the room and I just sent her like a sharp message, get out.
Oh.
And just, you know, she 2 seconds later, she went zoop. She, you know, like immediately she left. And then my friend who was very intuitive, he said, oh, there was somebody in here, but they left, you know, really quickly. So he picked up on it. And I said, yeah, it was this lady and she left, you know, she was gone. But now they're afraid of me instead of me being afraid of them.
That's just what I was going to say. It was like when you're a kid, you're scared of the ghosts. Now you've switched it around.
I reversed it. So now they're afraid of me. They know if I come around, they have to listen. They have to do what I say. So I had to, you know, for example, like too, if I forget to put up my boundaries, and I go to a new place, like I can't stay at any hotel. I just can't stay at any place that is not protected or that has like very dense, low energy or a lot of things have happened. First of all, I sense it. So I walked into a house in Jamaica and I looked at the girl and I said, this, the girl who was showing me around the house. And I said, someone died here, you know. And she goes, yeah, this wife poisoned the husband at the kitchen table. And I had to leave, you know, because I pick it all up. So I have to leave. I can't, you know, I won't stay there. Or at like a hotel that I went to in Florida where I didn't know at the time. So my friend booked us in a hotel in, I think it was a place called Casadego in Florida. And I, you know, she's like, okay, we're going to stay here. And I walked in and the minute I walked in, I see a bunch of souls, you know, coming towards me. And I looked at her and I said, no, I can't stay here. Cause they would have been like all over me at night, especially cause that's when you're most vulnerable. So when you sleep, your etheric body comes out of your physical body and it's easier for them to get to you if they want to do something to you. And it was just too many of them for me to fight off. So I told her, no, sorry, we're not staying here. And then I looked at the history of the place and it happened that the place, the hotel had burnt down and a lot of people got caught in it and died. And that's why they were still hanging out there. So I thought that was interesting, but I found out afterwards. I saw them first.
Did you find, or could it be that when you were small, you were almost a light in the darkness to these spirits, that they were some way attracted to you from a long way away even?
Yeah. That's what I get a lot. Like people that have that, I guess, gift or whatever, that magnetic field, like I'll go into a place and they won't be anybody there. So a restaurant or whatever, no one's there. And then 2 seconds later, the place is full. So you attract, you know, because of your energy And there, I know a lot of people that are like that. You attract. And then there's other people that repel. They go into a place and the whole place clears out. So, but yes, I think that your, whatever, your energy field is different or is, you know, has more light and they're attracted to it. It's like the same thing as flies. If you put on, you know, the light or insects, you in the night, you put the light on and they're all attracted to the light. And that's kind of the same way, the same concept.
And that hotel where there are all those spirits there, it's not, I suppose, that they're all bad and they're going to be mean to you. Some of them are probably quite nice, aren't they?
They're usually people that are stuck. They're still with their old mentality. So they're not very enlightened. And they have dense energy. Not that they would be mean, but they would be, I guess, curious. So they would be attracted and, you know, come around and they want to. Okay, so let me put it this way. Imagine that you're in a place and you can see everybody, but no one can see you. And, you know, no one can hear you. So you find somebody that can actually see and hear you and feel you. So you're going to be attracted. You're going to want to communicate. And you're there in that state for, like, it could be 50 years, hundreds of years. It could be a long time that you're in that same state. So, and your consciousness is stuck in that reality. Like, you're stuck in that. So most of those people are kind of lost souls. They're stuck. They're not very enlightened people. They weren't very enlightened people to begin with. And they're stuck in that in-between state. So it's not that they, it's annoying because I'll give you another example. I was in a hotel in Buenos Aires. And I was, you know, I was jet lagged and I had just come in from my flight. So I just went into the room and this again, it was for work. So someone else booked it for me. I didn't vet the place. And I was laying down and I went to sleep. And in the middle of that, there's a man and a woman that come into the room. And they're sitting on they sit on my bed and they start talking, having a conversation. And I got up and I'm like, shut up, you know, shut the heck up, you know. And I told them to get out and they got out. And then I protected my space and I could rest. But this hotel had a bunch of spirits or whatever that were walking around and they didn't mean harm. They were just people that were stuck there. But I didn't have the time to fool with them. So I just leave me alone. Let me sleep, get out of my room and stay out, you know? So that kind of thing, has happened, except for, I think I put it in one of those situations in a hotel that I went to in Athens, that there was this ghost, very hostile, and, you know, like tried to take me over and pin me down, and I had to get out of there because he was just too evil. And at the time, I wasn't fully in control of this, you know, different situations. Since then, I've learned to fend them off, and I've actually done house clearings where people have complained of a lot of things breaking, a lot of things moving. And I've gone in and, you know, I've been like Ghostbusters. Who do you want to call? Teresa. You know, so, but I've done that, you know, like now. But back then, when those things happened, I had no clue of how to handle it. You know, I wasn't completely aware of how to handle it. I barely protected myself. So that those things happened.
Do you do investigations? Are you interested in finding out stuff like, I don't know, maybe, oh, let's go to Gettysburg and see what comes up there?
No, you know, I investigate energy fields. So I've gone to places that are considered chakras and considered places of like of high energy or very sacred. And those in itself, okay, so when you have, the earth has chakras just like people do. And it also has portals, and which are similar to like acupuncture points. For me, that's what I compare them to. So, but those places of high energy where you can access earth energy are places that are more susceptible, or they're like gateways between dimensions. So usually a lot of paranormal activity happens in those places anyway. And those are the type of places. So there's good, because where you have portals, where you have energy fields, not only can you let in good things, but you can also let in bad things. So typically what I find is most of the places are protected by somebody. Someone has been attracted to that area to protect it, whether it be indigenous people or someone who's, you know, highly intuitive, but someone from, I guess, source, if you want to call it, you know, whatever you believe in, Buddha, you know, Christ, God, whatever it is, Yahweh, you know, yeah. You know, whatever you want to call it, it's the same thing. It's source. So it sends people to those sacred places to amplify the field and to protect it. So that's usually like, we went to a place in northern Guatemala, which is a gate. So gates are, chakras are really huge. They're like a whole city, you know, chakras are big. They span, excuse me, they span a wide, they have a wide range. Gates are smaller, so it might be like one or two mountains. You know, those are gates. And then the portals are even smaller. They're just like pinpoints. So they're like a certain spot, which is, by the way, like in the property that where I have the center now, that we have portals. So the area is a vortex, which vortexes are even smaller. So it's just, they call, those are the names that people label it because of the size of them. So the portals are like pinpoints. But the back to the story in Guatemala, that was a gate. And there was a lot of paranormal activity. So people that I, the group, we went, I went with a group. And when we went there, like some people said, oh, I heard children singing at night. They came knocking on my door. And it was like these three Mayan, huge, they were really tall, like 14 feet tall, dressed in Mayan outfits that when I was there that I saw. And they were telling me to go out with them. And it was pitch black, no lights. And I'm like, oh, hell no. And I was like, I'm not going out there with you. But they showed me the path where they wanted me to go. So maybe I might go back there one day and do that. But that whole area was protected by, believe it or not, the Catholic Church owns it and the Mayans protect it. So that was interesting. But we had a lot of paranormal experiences there. And I have like pictures to prove it. There's a whole bunch of orbs and different colored things. And there's a picture of fairies and everything.
Do you have a website where people can see the pictures?
I haven't posted them. I have a lot, even including the ones from the center here. There was recently. We did a fire ceremony. So we do ceremonies here. We had, in the beginning, we had a lot of Native American spirits that were kind of restless. And then we started doing Native American ceremonies and fire ceremonies. And that kind of like calmed everything down. So now the only ones that come through here are spirits that want to help and help people heal. And I took a picture, one of the pictures I took at the fire ceremony, there was a lady sitting and right next to her was a bear, but he was a ghost bear. And I thought it was really cool because that's the first time I caught a picture of an animal, a ghost animal, you know? And I'm guessing it was her spirit totem, because we all have them, you know, like a protection from an animal. That's just, I guess they're assigned to us. That's my theory. I don't know what anybody else thinks, but I think that there, you know, there is an animal spirit that is assigned to us. I think that that's why, like, the Native Americans were very in touch with that, and, you know, like little deer, running sparrow, or whatever. But it's because of that they were aware of that aspect of our nature.
And when you said then you do ceremonies here, what is here? What is this?
Oh. Okay, so in Dunellen, Florida, is I wrote the story in my book. It's like the last chapter in the book, but it was like the weirdest thing that happened. I was literally pulled out of Miami, like dragged out. It was so fast, and the whole thing was surreal. To this property that I wanted to, and in their defense, they pulled me out there, which I talked about my homies, which are basically right now, they're different than what they were before. But it's Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, and actually lately, Raphael has been coming my way. But they literally dragged me from Miami to the property in Dunellen, Florida. And this place is, the whole place is like a vortex. The energy is different here. It's like you're almost in another dimension. And everybody's like calm, everybody's chill. There's a lot of spiritual people here, a lot of people that practice alternative therapies. And in the back, when we first came, well, through the picture, I already felt the energy. And the, you know, through the website, because I found it online and I had never seen the property. I hadn't stepped foot on it. And we made an offer and said, nope. And then when the first time I came to the property in Dunellen and I stepped in the back, it just hit me. And I was like, yes, this is it. Because everything, like all, it was like a whole thing just flushed out of me. Like all the toxic energy just went shh. Split up, and it was peace, calm. It's a very, like, people that come here feel that it's a very peaceful place. But there's a reason why it's peaceful. It's because there's the portals. There's four portals in the backyard. I call it my backyard. It's 4 acres. But one is yin energy, which is feminine energy. The other one is yang, which is masculine. And in between them, the whole thing forms like a triangle. In between them is, I call it the point of harmony, because it just flushes everything out. It balances everything out. And then at the peak of it, it's a spirit point, like wind. So when I stand, I discovered it because when the energy, when there's a portal and you step in it, it's kind of like you can see the dimensions shifting. It looks like there's a wave. And things are moving. So when I stepped in it, I was doing Qigong, and I, you know, I looked and I see the shift in energies, and then you could feel it coming. You could feel the energy coming from the ground. It actually moves people around, like they involuntarily, they stand in it and they start like moving around and around. And they think that I'm doing it, but I'm not. It's the earth. Earth that's doing it. It's, you know, circulating the energy through them. The more out of balance they are, the more movement there is. The more balanced they are, then the less movement. But the earth is harmonizing them and harmonizing with them. So the spirit point is very interesting because it could be very powerful. So it moves people, and they always think that, you know, I have something to do with it, but I really don't. It's just the earth. And sometimes it gets really strong. So I've had, on occasion, I've had some people like pass out from it because it's too strong. So I've had, you know, like they just pass out. They go somewhere, The first time it happened to me was in, I was in my office, because this now, when we first came, the energy was strictly in the back of the property. But since we've cleared everything out, it's moved up. So it actually extends to the whole property, which is 6 acres. So it extends to the front. And the very first time it happened to me, I was in the office. I was working with somebody, and then I touched them and they just went down. Like, and I saw that they were falling back. So I tried to catch her and I fell with her. And I was like, oh crap, what did I do to this lady? And I tried to like wake her up, and she was out for a little bit. And then she came back. When she came back too, she said nothing hurt her. She didn't get hurt. Nothing happened. And she felt like something, some evil or something negative that she had in her had left her. And that's why she just, and my theory is that it's a reboot. So something happens because of the energy here that reboots people. So when they pass out, it's that they have like a lot of negativity and it has to be released. So they have that reboot. So it's kind of like we're computers, our brains are computers. So everything shuts down so it could be rebooted and then the program could be corrected. That's my theory. That's what I figure happens to people when they pass out. Because I also had it the same thing. Another person mentioned the same thing. They said they felt like something dark left them when they passed out. They just, you know, I learned my lesson. So now when I do these, it's like the shamanic ceremony that I do in the back. And when I do it, I have people sitting, so it's easier to catch them when they pass out.
Could you tell us about Grandma Estella? Was she like a mentor for you?
In a weird sort of way, because she really didn't teach me. Well, she did teach me a couple of little tricks, but she was very much like me. I'm like her. So when she was younger, they called her like a curandera. And so she would, in her sleep, she would actually heal people. And she would go around doing, I don't know what she did. That's what they told me about her, that she would do healings. And she was very psychic, intuitive. She used to channel. And when she channeled, it was like somebody took over her body. So her voice would change, her mannerism would change. She was another person, basically. When I've saw her do that a couple of times when we used to do those seance things in the house. And I would just, you know, like see her transform into somebody else. So I would now, you know, like sometimes in that aspect, like sometimes I'm saying things to people and I don't know what I said. You know, they come back and tell me. In that sense, I kind of do that, but I don't lose complete control. And I don't transform that way. It's just me, but I don't realize what I'm saying or what I'm doing. So that's a little bit different, but she used to do that kind of stuff.
Did your mom used to do stuff like that? But there was an incident where she decided to stop?
Yeah, she was, when she was young in Mexico, she was working with a healer too, like a psychic healer, and in some kind of center. But at some point, she told me that it scared her because she felt like the energy got really strong and it just got really too weird for her. And it was growing and she shut it down. She's like, no, she through fear, with fear, you know, like you can shut things off. So that's what she did. But she had the ability and she was also very intuitive. She could also see things, mostly like feel things, hear things. So that was my mother. And then the grandmother was on my father's side. So I had it on on both sides. So from my mother and from my grandmother on my father's side. So I guess the whole combination of all of those genetics made it more intense for me because I had it, you know, I inherited some of that, but I believe that people can also develop that. It may take them a lot longer and it may take more effort, but everyone can get to the same place, the same points.
Hello, this is me, Simon. Did you know that during a past life regression, you can meet with your spirit guide? I conduct past life regression sessions over Zoom, and I've guided many clients to a spiritual encounter with their guide. If you would like to ask me how a session would work for you, you can book a free 20-minute consultation on my website, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The link is in the show notes. Your house was full of spirits when you were 8-year-old.
Yeah, I actually had nightmares about that for like another 7 years after we weren't even living there for a long time. It was a traumatic experience as a kid.
And then you moved to a bigger house and it seemed like, I think you said something like, oh, the moving in honeymoon was over and then the games started.
Yeah. They would do all kinds of tricks, turn the lights on and off, the TV, turn on and off, the lights would blink, the doors would shut, the chairs would move. It was like Poltergeist Central, you know. It was like living in one of those horror movies, but for real. They didn't really hurt anybody, I guess, physically, but they just did a lot of scary things.
It almost sounds like you're seeing this in every house you go to, and I wonder if that means my house is haunted and everybody's is.
Yeah. No, not everybody's is, but whatever is, like I said, since I attract things, and then since my sister, the house that we lived in New York for those 7 years, that it was a really big house, but there was a bunch of stuff going on there. But anyway, we attract that. And so it was me, my sister, my brother, my grandmother. We all have the same mediumship abilities. And all of us attract all of that. So that's why they feed off of our light, of our energy, and they could see it and they're attracted to it. So we, all of us, attracted all of that, even more so. There was things that were already there, but we just, you know, we attracted more of it. And it, you know, like where my grandmother was, when we moved to Florida and I moved to my uncle's house, my grandmother was already there. So whatever was there, there was this lady. She seemed Hispanic. So, you know, I used to see her walking around and, you know, she played a trick on me when I stayed up one night late and I was sitting in the sofa and I was watching TV, and then she came and knocked on the bottom of the sofa under my seat. Kind of, I guess she was trying to tell me, go to bed. You know, you're bothering me. It's my time. You know, get out of here. So I was just like, okay, I get the message. I'm going to sleep. Bye. You know, but we just used to attract those things anyway. So even here, I attract those things. I'm used to it, but now I have my boundaries, and so I know who can come in and who can't.
And you talked about a spirit team a little bit earlier, and you also say that they change according to your spiritual evolution. So that applies to all of us, I suppose.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so the ones that you attract, you mean like your guardians and the spirits or the souls that hang around you?
Yeah.
They change when your frequency and your own energy field changes. So when you're, I I noticed that, and also what you let in intentionally. So, you know, like when you learn to amplify your energy and when you learn to set your boundaries, then like now I dictate that whatever comes in to my field and whatever wants to communicate with me, it has to be for the greater good. So I set up that wall, that energy field that, you know, they can't come close or use me unless it's something that is going to serve a purpose to help someone or to help some kind of situation. And they've changed. So when I was little, I had this nun, that was a sister Clara that I used to see, that she was always hanging around me. And there was this other Indian guy. I don't know his name. I just made up names because I have no idea. I knew Clara. That was the only one that I got her name. But him, I didn't get his name. And they used to hang around. And I guess they were like guardians. They were, you know, like protecting me at the time when I was little. And I didn't really know what I was doing anyway with all of that. But as I got older, when I started the process of learning how to heal myself, how to heal others, how to use the energy, then another group came in and they were different. So that's when like fairies started showing up and you know, like whatever, I guess, like what people would consider the Holy Spirit, like that Trinity. And they actually took a picture of me and some girl, she never gave me the copy of the picture, but I was standing in like a doorway and there were like 10 fairies making an arch over me. And then there was like these other three beings, one on each side and one behind me. And she took a picture of it and it came out and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. Let me get a copy. But she never gave it to me. So I was, you know, that was like, shucks. Okay. they changed. And then when I started doing acupuncture, then I started seeing this little Chinese guy come around. I call him Mr. Miyagi because I don't know what to call him. Sometimes they give you their name, sometimes they don't. But he would come and during the sessions, when I would be working with people and help me out, like say, okay, put the needle here, do this. Mostly I just listen to them and I just do what they say because I've learned that they know more than I do. And, you know, so I just listen and I'm like, okay, fine. You know, and I do it, whatever comes through.
And you're very empathetic. I think that's the right word. That you would feel...
Oh, empathic. No. You're close. You were close. It's empathic. I'm empathic. So basically, I feel everything. And sometimes I feel the whole planet, which is kind of annoying at times. But I guess it's a gift because then I'm able to process what they have and remove it. And then I just give it to God, you know? I'm like, okay, you deal with this. But I've learned how to, I guess, you know, so that it goes through me. I've learned to like let it go through me and not stay with me. And I've learned how to remove it. So as an example, I went to this group, some group meeting, which wasn't too far from my house. And I happened to sit next to a lady. And when I sat next to her, I started getting this huge pounding headache. And it was hers, not mine. And I've learned the difference because when I'm next to a person, I'll feel it. And then when I disconnect from them and I'm sitting somewhere else, I don't feel it. It's gone. So it was her headache. And then I went to the same group meeting. I did it again and happened to sit next to the same woman. And I felt it again. I'm like, okay, definitely this is hers. It's not mine. And then she actually made an appointment for me to treat her. And when I treated her, the reason why is because she had a brain tumor. And that's what I was feeling. And even like a person that came to me, she had something in her arm. Like when I touched her arm, I could feel something really like, it was wild. It was animalistic. It was different. And I'm like, what do you have in your arm? And she told me, oh, I had to have like a vein replaced, and it was a Vicen vein. So I was feeling the animal in her arm, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
So things like that have, you know, have happened, and they still happen. The more I work with people, I'm at the point where I could look at a picture and connect with the person and say, okay, that person is like this, 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 and this, and that, but I'm feeling it. And I'll feel things with my hands. I can feel, another example, somebody came to me and when I touched her, I said, okay, you had a C-section or you had this trauma with, you know, a childhood trauma. And I told her exactly what it was. And she's like, how did you know that? Because I felt it, you know, that's what it was. And, you know, like she said, they call me a witch, but I don't care. You know, that's the label that they put on me because they don't understand where it's coming from. So it's a human nature.
So can we get on to your experiences? You've had three near-death experiences. And I wanted to ask you about the third one. But can you tell us, how did that start?
I was driving home. I had just gotten off a flight. I don't even remember where I was coming from. But I was driving home on I-75, which, you know, you go, whatever, 75, 80 miles an hour. And there was this huge truck that was next to me. And it kind of like, I got caught in a draft. He started going into my lane and started going like on me. So I tried to get away from him. And the car kind of just lost control and went into a ditch. And then it, you know, did somersaults and turned around. And I guess it did because I was gone. During the accident, I was, you know, like I wasn't there. I didn't have like my physical body was there, but my consciousness wasn't. So the car, you know, I guess started tumbling down the ditch and it kind of like just flattened and I was stuck inside the car. And that's like what I remember. Since my body was experiencing the accident, but I wasn't, is that, you know, like all I saw was this violet light and it was beautiful and it was very calming. And that I know somebody was with me and I heard them, tell me, no, you're not going to die. You still have things to do. That was quote unquote. And I was, you know, like taken to, it's like a tunnel because I wanted to meet God. As I realized where I was. So I said, hey, I want to meet God. So they took me and it was like do you ever see Star? Oh, no, it was Stargate. Do you ever see Stargate?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know how when they go through the gate?
Yeah, it looks almost like water in a way, doesn't it? And then they go through like an energetic tunnel?
Right. So that's the closest that I can describe how it is that you go through. And it's really fast. So in one moment, I'm in one place, and then all of a sudden, like thought goes real fast. And I was in another place, and it was very etheric. So it's all like nothing solid. And there was like this enormous source of light, but the light is like super bright and you can see it, like you could look at it, but it's like this white blinding light. And I didn't understand. And then in front of it, there were these three beings, which were not, were kind of formed like humans, but not really. and very like non-solid, like misty type of energies. So they were in front of that. And I didn't know what I was looking at. So me and my, you know, arrogant self and sarcastic self, because I'm sarcastic a lot of times. And I'm like, okay, so where is he? You know, what am I looking at? And then I heard the voice, you know, they said, you're in the presence of God. And I understood, because all you feel is like this enormous amount of love and peace. And it was just beautiful. And it's indescribable. The feeling is really indescribable. And then that's it, you know, like then they, you know, what I got, I couldn't get too comfortable because they took me back right away. So when you come back, it's like you're taking your first breath again. So that's happened to me several times where all of a sudden you get pulled back into your body and then you're like, you know, you're breathing again.
Yeah, I see.
So, and then it was funny because I met this lady who had a, you know, I've met a lot of people actually, I guess we're attracted to each other, that have had near-death experiences. And she told me, she goes, well, I didn't get to see God. And I said, well, did you ask? And she goes, no. And I'm like, that's why you didn't get to see him, because you didn't ask. And that's the case. If you ask, you receive. If you don't ask, you don't get.
And I think you said in the book that you had no thoughts of children, husband, or if I'd finished the laundry.
No, you don't. When you're over there, you're like, I mean, it's so blissful, I guess. It's indescribable, like the feeling that you get, that you don't think of. I mean, maybe some people do, but I don't. I mean, the first thing I thought of when I'm out of my body is, "Wee, I'm free," you know. And I was like, "I'm taking off. That's it. I'm done." But that's me. Somebody else, I've talked to other people that have had near-death experiences, and they've told me, oh, no, I came back. I was given a choice whether I can stay or whether I can, you know, or if I wanted to go back. And I decided to go back because of my children or whatever reason they gave. But so some people are given a choice. And then I've met other people that are not. They're like, no, you got to go back. You still, that's not your time yet. Go back. So it all depends on the person and their state, you know, what their purpose is for being here and their state of evolution, where they go. Because I've also seen where people, when people have committed suicide, I had a friend that committed suicide and then I saw where he was afterwards. And it was all like gray, dark place. Everything was shadows and gray. And it wasn't very pleasant. So I know that prayers do help them to overcome it and to move on to another, you know, level, or, you know, for their souls to realize what's going on and to get themselves out of it. So, and there is no, there's no heaven or hell. It's just whatever state of mind you are at the time of crossing.
So when they said to you, you're not ready to die, you still have things to do, were you really like disappointed?
I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a time to think about it. They were just like, back you go. That's it. And I've talked to, coincidentally, recently, I went to Puerto Rico, and on the way there, there was a gentleman that the whole thing happened was, I guess it happened on purpose, but not. He went into the wrong seat. He took the wrong seat, and he was actually paralyzed from the waist down. So he couldn't move to the right seat. So when I got on the plane, the stewardess tells me, are you Teresa? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, we have a situation. This man ended up in your seat. He can't move out of it. So he said, well, but I can move to the side. So I sat next to him. And it turns out that he had a near-death experiences. And we were comparing our experiences, and they were very similar. So he's like, yeah, I was, you know, because I told him, you know, I just left my body during the accident, like I didn't get to experience my physical body. I wasn't there. And the same thing happened to him. And, you know, like the same places, we kind of went to the same realms or whatever. And when he came back, you know, he's talking about, you know, getting that the first, it feels like a first breath that you come back into your body. So I thought that was interesting, too. It's like coincidentally, out of all the people, we get to sit next to each other, you know, and talk about it.
It's too much of a coincidence.
That was interesting. But people like that, you know, so I'm sure that it serves some kind of purpose.
So what do you do now? Do you sit with people and do readings?
No. If I get a message, I give it. It's a gift. So I give it as a gift. I don't expect anything from it. When it comes, it comes. However, I do acupuncture and I do work the energy and I also work with energy. And I also do classes. I teach people what things that they can do for themselves. So now I do private sessions and I also do group things. We do the retreats. We have people that come. Sometimes they want us to do some things. Sometimes they don't, but they come to the center. So, you know, basically I like to help people help themselves or teach people how to help themselves. We did a sound event last night, actually. We did a sound event and we had a group of people and we did different therapies and different things on sound and frequency. That's just one of the things. I've done like a Reiki retreat where it's 4 days and then I'll teach people how to do it and I'll, you know, they can do it to each other and how they could work the energy for themselves and for other people. Things like that, or I'll do a class on people that want to learn how to enhance their intuition. That one's actually, I'm doing that coming up soon. I have to do a class for some people. And some people are coming in the beginning of November to the center. They're going to stay here for, you know, 3 days. And then we do not only treatments, but also classes. It's a mix. And it's customized depending on what the person's goal is or what the group's goal is. So it's both individual during the week. I'll do private sessions, one-on-one. And I use all the techniques. So I also am a hypnotherapist. So sometimes it's a mental thing that has to be addressed. So I'll address that with hypnotherapy. If I have to combine it with acupuncture and with energy work, at whatever tools that I need to use, I use. Sometimes it needs a physical component. So then I'll have some herbs or recommend some supplements, or sometimes it's different exercise techniques or different yoga techniques, whatever it is that they need, brainwave frequencies, all of the above. So it's a combination of things, but helping people, the goal is to help people help themselves because ultimately they are their own healer. It's not up to me. It's up to them to do what they need to do for themselves and to fix themselves. They can block it. I've seen people block everything. You know, everyone, I had a group of people that I taught like enhancing their intuition. And there was this one girl, she couldn't do anything. There was, she just, no matter what it was, she wouldn't get it. Everybody else did. And including like we were bending forks, everything, all the things that we did, everyone got it except for this one girl. She couldn't get it, but it's because she was blocking herself and she was not, like she was telling herself, I can't do this. I don't believe this. Whatever she was telling herself that was blocking it, but she was the only one. Everybody else was like, boop, boop, boop. They all got it except for her.
Can you give us your website address? Is that how people would find you?
Right. I have two websites. The one that the www innertransformationcenter.com is one of them. The other one is naturalhealinginc.com.
The book is called Autobiography of a Medium, A Journey Beyond Death and the Unseen. And people can get that on Amazon, can't they?
Yes, Amazon. So it's Kindle and Amazon, but it's the same thing. If you go on Amazon, you'll see both.
Great. Well, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome.
This week, I was talking to Teresa Stepanov about her book, Autobiography of a Medium, A Journey Beyond Death and the Unseen. If you want to hear the rest of this fascinating interview, you can sign up to Patreon. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. And don't forget, my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is out now on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, Kindle, or audiobook. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.